number seven, he finally realized that faithfulness and patience was a vital part of the plan. It really is, friends. It's a truly a vital part of that plan of God.
Well, I think Hebrews 10:36 it says, and when you've done the will of God, you'll receive what was promised. Mm. Now, I think it's a continual matter of checking and rechecking with the Lord to make sure that our paths and steps are bathed in peace and assurance and confirmation with the Lord that we're on the right track, that at any given time we're ready to lay down what we think is right and say, Lord, you know, I thought I was doing the right thing here, but I got to lay this thing down until you confirm to me that I'm on the right track and doing the right thing at the right time. And sometimes timing is everything.
That's right. What we see here with Ishmael, Darren, is that the second time that Ishmael and his mother were sent away, they were sent away for good. And the only time Ishmael comes back that we even hear of him, Abram actually let go of his son, and it didn't even call him his firstborn son. It was Isaac who was considered his firstborn son. Ishmael came back and buried his father with Isaac, but that's the only other time we hear of Ishmael. So Abram actually laid down Ishmael, and God took care of Ishmael. He really did. But sometimes we got to lay down these Ishmaels, these sins that we do commit when we are in a hurry to get God's promise into fruition.
See, I would say it this way. God is the one that gave life in the sperm or in the seed for that child to be conceived. Now, so if we go back up to the headwater, so to speak, or to the beginnings, we have to say, all right, God, you were in on this here, and this kid is going to be your responsibility. Mm-hmm. And so, but what do parents do many times? They become smothering mothers and fathers, and they're always messing their kids' deal. And I can't not get through this to enough parents, but say, now what's going to happen, Mom and Dad? One day you're going to be out there in the graveyard. And if you haven't left your progeny, or in other words, your offspring behind, capable to take care of themselves, and part of that taking care of is trusting God, mm-hmm. and going to the Bible for answers. If you haven't taught them that in some part, you've failed.
Yes.
You've got to do that. Why is it fair to the rest of the culture to leave somebody behind like a Jezebel or an Ishmael? And I say a great big no. I say you owe the rest of us an apology for not disciplining that little child that's going to grow up someday and be a rebellious adult.
That's right. Well, here from Genesis 15 to Genesis 17. Now, God cut the covenant with Abram in Genesis 15. Two chapters later, he comes when Abram is 99 years old. And here's the promise he gives him in Genesis 17, 1 through 21. And I'm not going to read all of this. I'm just going to read the very beginning, Darren. But he promises him everything. And he actually tells him the boundaries of the future country of Israel. They were established at this time in Genesis 17. He says, I am God Almighty. What that means is I'm the all-sufficient one. I'm El Shaddai. I'm a God of more than enough for you. I want you to remember that, friend, today. You serve a God, El Shaddai, who is the all-sufficient one, the God of plenty, the God of more than enough. He says, walk before me and be blameless. That means perfect, having integrity. And I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Darren, I believe he's saying that to all of us today. I believe if we serve him, he's going to be that El Shaddai to every one of us today.
Okay, now he's El Shaddai. Then I have to go over to Mark chapter 10, and I go to verse 27. One of my favorites, I quote it all the time. I quote it almost daily to myself, sometimes many times a day. With men it's impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. That is a New Testament rendering of El Shaddai, saying God can do it. Mm-hmm. God has the resources. God has the power. God has the ability. But I'll tell you what. We have to keep our flesh out of the way, or we'll get in there and mess things up real good. And all of us are, you know, we're pretty good at that.
Yes.
And that's the human element. And we got to put it down and get the faith element going.
That is such a great point, Darren. We have to walk away from the flesh, the lifestyle in the flesh, and walk into the life in the spirit. And what God did here is the breath of God entered Abram at this time. I believe in every person's walk. We cannot just receive Jesus as our personal Savior. Darren, there is more to it. It's the breath of Holy Spirit in us. It's Holy Spirit in us. And at this time in Genesis 17, God established not only a new name for Abraham, but a new spiritual walk with Abraham. The breath of God entered into Abram at this time in this spiritual transaction, and Abram, exalted father, became Abraham, father of a multitude. It's such, when he put the A-H into Abraham and Sarah, he actually, in a, what this is telling about a, in a physical way on these pages in black and white, is an absolutely marvelous spiritual transaction going on here.
Now, if we take the fact that, and accept this, which I have, that the spirit world is just as real or in some ways more real than the natural world. Okay, when he said, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants, to me that's a place in the spirit world. And I believe that we need to look for those places when that scripture was spoken. I believe it's like we'd say to a friend, now I remember at such and such coffee shop, you said to me, you made a commitment to me. You were going to do such and such and such, and you haven't done that. You remember that day down at Joe's Cafe or whatever? Or you remember that day on the steps of the church? Or you remember that day in the parking lot at the church? We were headed into prayer meeting, and you took me aside, and you promised me you'd do certain things. Now, we would take that person back to that, said, don't you remember that? Well, I believe we need to go back in our memories here in the spirit world and say, God, there was a time when you made a covenant with Father Abraham. I want to go back to that time and that place in the spirit world, and I want to receive that revel. I want to step into that place. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that that may sound a little mystical to some of you, but I'll tell you, try that. Step into the covenant. You get over in the New Testament and say, I want to step into the kingdom of God. I don't want to be disconnected anymore. I want it to be familiar territory to me. And that's when you cry out for Isaiah 11:2. Lord God, through the spirit of wisdom, counsel, understanding, revelation, knowledge, teach me about the covenant.
Yes. And you know what, Darren? He wasn't ready. Abram was not ready for it all. He did not have a concept at all of what God was doing until this time. He had been told clear back there almost 25 years before what God was going to do. He was not ready. And some of you, you say, oh, yeah, I'm ready. You know, it reminds me of some of the disciples. Oh, yes, we're ready to drink that cup with you, Jesus. No, they weren't. In fact, they all fled from him. And we need to trust that God knows the best for us. And here, Darren, you know, then he changed Sarai's name to Sarah, which means noble queen. Actually, right here, Abraham possessed the promise. And faith is possession. Faith is, I possess this. I actually am going to live this. It's stepping into the water. It's not just dabbling around the edges. It's actually stepping into the water.
You know, Barbara, I have to stop right now because I know a lot of people listen to this message. And for you, it's information. Let me tell you, you need to go from information to revelation. And you get that by asking God to teach you the concepts. See, God is a teacher. In fact, I like one scripture in Psalm, I believe it's Psalm 119, that says, I look forward to the night watches that you may teach me while I sleep. Frequently, the Lord speaks to me for hours as I'm drifting in and out of sleep. And I realize he's teaching me. And sometimes he said, get out of bed, I've got something to teach you. Or get out of bed and do this. A couple nights ago, he said that to me. Well, I believe that we need to say, all right, Lord, I've got this information here. I've got a bunch of facts, but I want to make it vital in my life. Because right now, it's just information.
Yes.
Folks, I want to tell you that will pay such rich dividends. And if you ask God about this matter of the covenant, say, I want this to be so in my heart that every day I'll know that I have a covenant or a contract with you, and you're performing that contract in my life. You're making it happen, God. Lord,
yes.
Not me, but you.
Yes, God's making it happen.
That's
amen.
The time, Barbara, say amen.
Now, I do.
That's good stuff.
It was 25 years later, Darren. God made a covenant with Abraham. It took 25 years to actually complete it, and he completed it through the circumcision, through cutting of the flesh, and that bloodline that passed through the covenant in circumcision was that creative power of God that we need in our lives.
Well, when we think about the mark of circumcision on the male, the sperm flows through the circumcision.
Yes.
Which is so profound to me. God gave me that a couple of years ago. And so he's tying in circumcision. Now, the new concept here, and in New Testament, it talks about circumcising your heart.
See, and the wife doesn't have that. Only the man has that. And as much as we women desire to be in control and to be, the heads of the family, we will never be, because it's the man
who
God chose.
So you admit that?
Oh, I choose it, and I delight in being under you and submitting.